Good evening, everybody. Hashem, we're going to discuss some of the remaining issues. Last time we had a chibur, we talked about chatzitza, about things that impede the tefillah, and everything stuck to a person's body. Hashem, we're going to discuss that, chatzitza, the requirement of for a woman to cleanse herself, depending on what it is, for tefillah, as well as some other aspects later on related to these two things. The first thing is the Gemara in Meruba and Bava Kama says that Ezra, among his takanos, and takana that a woman has to do chafifa. She has to do chafifa. Chafifa is translated in modern Hebrew as shampooing, but it means she has to cleanse herself prior to going to the mikveh being tovel. Ramban, the Torah quotes to Ramban, the Ramban explains that midaraisa, a woman just has to check her body. As long as she's ma'ayin begufa, checks her body, and she's no chatzitza, that's sufficient, and she be tovelus, and she consumes tefillah with kosher. But midaraban and Ezra was besotten, she has to do chafifa. She must actually cleanse her body. The question is, what is chafifa? What does she have to cleanse exactly? So the machlokes rishonim. There's one opinion, which is the opinion of Rina Shemai in the name of Rashi, says she must cleanse her. She must cleanse her whole body. That's why she has to shampoo, bathe, scrub her whole body before she's tovel. However, the other opinion that Rabbeinu Tam and also most rishonim hold this way. The Ron Mikra didn't hold this way. The Rush, Tosfos, the Rambam, they hold chafifa is on the hair. She has to shampoo her hair. Her whole body must have no chatzitzas. She must make sure no chatzitzas. But chafifa, the Tekan of Ezra is on the hair. She must shampoo her hair specifically. If she checks her body and shampoos her hair, that's fine. If she checks her body and checks her hair and doesn't shampoo it, according to this shita, she's not yotzei. She didn't do the chafifa. Whereas again, Rashi and Rabbeinu Shemaya, his name, say you must do chafifa, scrub, clean the whole body. So what's this machlokas? I thought simply, on the one hand, the way that the Beis Yosef, and a lot of this is following the stage of the tour in the Beis Yosef.
Wait, so what's the machlokas?
Whether chafifa, the tikkun of Ezra, is on the hair or on the entire goof.
So what does it mean to do chafifa?
Right.
Must, to wash?
Yeah, to wash, to cleanse. Yeah, to wash, right? To wash, just right, mm-hmm. To cleanse, right? So it's on the hair or the whole goof? Again, the Ramban says, of course, midaraisa, she has to check her entire goof.
Meaning the other Rishonim say she doesn't have to wash herself, she doesn't need a shower.
That's
she can
right.
Just go into the
no, but you have to check.
You have to check the chatzitza. But there's no requirement to wash yourself.
That's right. Right. The Rishonim conclude, the Rush says, and the Ramban says that, nevertheless, though, in the Torah quotes this in the Shachar, still, nevertheless, no matter what, even if you would pass to the chafif on the Rosh, still a woman should cleanse her whole body. But nevertheless, the question
Betia,
is... Yeah,
but we're talking about Betia.
Right. What's the Tekana Ikra Din? What Ezra's Tekana? Is on the hair or on the whole body? So perhaps Machlok is like this. The Beis Yosef explains that the hair is more shy to have chatzitzas. It can be stuck together. It can get tangled. It can get stuck in it. So the hair is more likely technically to have a chatzitza on it. But whatever. However, though, as we know, body can have chatzitzas also. There's a whole very long siman we have in Torah and Shacharach about chatzitzas and Dapim and Nida about it. The whole body has to be checked. So on one hand, it could be like this. What's the mitzvah of chafifa? Is the mitzvah of chafifa is the mitzvah in the maisa or is it the kiyum? So if the mitzvah is in the maisa, that you must, a woman, that she must go through the act of cleansing, right? So that would be more applicable to hair, because the hair is the thing that has to be targeted first, hair or most, primary. It has more likely to have to be knotted and tangled and stuck in whatever it is. Therefore, in terms of the act, what needs to be cleansed more? The hair. However, the whole body has to be free of chatzitzas, obviously, for it to be effective. So if chafifa is a din in the mice chafifa, it's mustaber to say, they're masakin in the area that is most likely to be required, most likely to be necessary in the hair. Whole body check.
You mean if the tefillah is in the maisa?
No. If the mitzvah of chafifa is the act of the maisa, the pa'ula of cleaning, that's Ezra's masakin. What is masakin? Is he masakin that you must do the act of chafifa? That's the case. And the hair is the more likely place of any place that you need to do it. The rest of the body, you can take a look at your skin, but the hair gets knotted and tangled and it's hidden and so forth, so you have to cleanse it. However, if chafifa is a din in the kiyum, in other words, the whole body must be verified to be clean via cleansing. The cleansing simply is a heichatim, simply the vehicle to arrive at the kiyum, that you have fulfilled the chafifa. The body has a state of having chafifa done to it. It's a kiyum, then the whole body would be shy to chafifa, because it's the kiyum. The whole body must be free of chatzitzas. So again, is chafifa din in the maisa, as we're stopping, you must do this physical act, or no, it's the Yerusakin that the body must have, the woman must be chatzitza free via chafifa. Chafifa is simply the mechanism, but the kiyum of mitzvah chafifa is in the kiyum, it's not in the maisa per se. And therefore, the whole goof must be free of chatzitza. So maybe that's the focus. Is it in the maisa or in the kiyum? What is chafifa? There's a lashon of the Torah I'd like to read here. It's very unusual. The Beis Yosef, so to say, jumps on it right away and critiquing the Torah. But when the Ramban explains,
Can you just go a little deeper? Like, why should it be a maisa? Why should it be a din in the kiyum? Like, can
why
you explain
it
that? You know, like,
What's a takana? What's the question of the nature of the takana?
Yeah, but why would there be an incentive?
Is it a formal takana, or is it a...
what?
Was it a formal takana versus a...
But they're both formal. I don't know why you're calling one more formal than another. To me, both things are formal. Even if you say it's a kiyum, it's also formal.
What would be the kiyum? So you do the hair and then...
Yeah, like... I just don't understand what would be the motivation to say one versus the other.
The motivation to say that it's a din of kiyum, that's very simple, because she has to be free of chatzis, isn't there? Right. You're saying,
why would be the svara to say it's dafkan?
No, it's true, the hair is more tangled, so like they said, right. So why dafkan misak? Why would they misak on the hair? Even without my husband, why would they misak on the hair, you want to say?
Yeah, right.
Do you want to offer something? Think about it for a second. Okay, why would... Floor is open.
Ezra's takana was daf. No, Ezra made a takana. The question was, right. Given the fact that he's a takana, do we limit that takana? Do we expand that takana? That's the two options. One is we expand the takana to say he maximal takana versus the minimal takana. Clearly, it was a chashash that he had. Like, everyone agrees there, right? Chatzitza would be bad. And Durabana, presumably pre Ezra, Durabana, I mean, the assumption is that it would also chatzitza would be a problem.
Yeah, of course.
So Durabana, chatzitza, you're saying Durabana, what?
Even the rice of chesed, if it covers rova goof and she's mocked, but it's even even drabban if it's a cover mute.
But the question is, in the drabban it's pre Ezra, not post Ezra.
Yeah, yeah.
So then the question is, Ezra made the stuff. The question is, Ezra maximized the takanas Ezra to say that the chafifa is that he was choshish for any possibility, or that he's choshish for the great, you know, the greatest, you know, likelihood.
Could be that, or additionally, another way to say it like this. See, that I wanted to say this for later, but the question is, when the woman doesn't do chafifa, what's the status of it for her body? If she has a subak chafifa, what's the status? There's something we can discuss, which I want to discuss later on this kabura. But it could be like this: before having done chafifa, she has the rosh explains also that her body has a status of, you know, it's very, there's no hezkas the kius on her body. She's very prone to having chatzitzas on her body. The question is how you view this status. Is the pshat, if you say the pshat is that she has no chazak either way, her body simply is like an open target for anything. It's just an unknown. If that's the case, she'd like to have chatzitzas, but unknown. If that's the case, then you could say that chafifa really is in her hair, because the hair obviously is more likely to have chatzitzas, as they explain. However, if you say the pshat is that without chafifa, her body is muchzak with chatzitzas, then it would be on the whole body. In other words, what's the status of an unclean, uncleansed, unchecked body? Is a question. Is it has no.
Is she like muchzak that she's clean?
But the opposite. She didn't do any check anything.
Right. Is the chazaka that she's clean?
I would think so. Yeah.
Well, what do you
want? She has no chazaka. There's nothing. Therefore, that's why Ramban says me to raise. She must check. They say if she doesn't check, then she's not yotzei tevila. We don't say it's a suffix of kila zavade. She's muksak. At least she has a suffix of chatzis.
Right. The other way to say it is check everything.
The other way to say it is that it's opposite. She's muksak to have chatzis. You could say that. See, if the pshat is that the woman she has no chazaka for anything. Then you can say, you know what, check the hair. The rest of the body, just check. The hair, though, should be cleansed. The hair is more likely to have problems with different. However, if you say the pshat, she's muchzak to have chatzitzas. She has chazaka that she is unclean, so to say. That's the pshat, and the whole body requires chatzitzas. I mean, that's the way to say it. What is her chazaka of an unchecked, uncleansed person? Is it that there's just nothing? She's prone to have chatzitzas? Or no? It's actually
a chazaka of lack
of cleanliness. Maybe that's the English God. Thank you for bringing it to me. Like, okay, that's the first issue. Second issue, I'd like to just read quickly the lashon of the Torah quoting the Ramban. Heck, I want to see how the Torah explains Ramban. It's very unusual. Again, the Beis Yosef does not like this one bit, so to say. The Torah writes like this. One second, please. Quotes the Ramban. Lashon Ramban. This is the Torah in Kuf Tzadik Tes again. Lashon Ramban. Din Torah shetei tovelis atovelis mianas ba'atzma samuch tzvila. In Torah, the woman has to check herself, inspect her body before the tevila. Bodekas kogufa, check her whole body. Shama yesh b'davar shechotis b'davar. Maybe she has a chatzitza on herself. The Ezra beisino tikmu shtei chafefes b'chol makom seyor shabah. And Ezra came along and he and his bezin made a takana that she has to do a chafifa. She has to cleanse, she unpoo whatever. In all places that have hair, again, Ramban like Rav Rishonim, it's only in the hair, not in the whole body. Chafifa. L'mayim chamis erekisosin and so forth. The Torah elaborate. He quotes the whole Ramban here, what she has to do. And then he says, "Yira midavarav sheyoser machmir beiuna guf beiuna rosh." it seems that her body is more chum than the rosh. She's edging tarv is that any well to come to sezra, because Rabban says that clean the body is a din tarva and clean the hair is a tachan of ezra. Therefore, it seems he's...
Wait a minute. Rabban says that it's a din min haTorah to wash your body.
To check your body. You must check your body.
Check.
And ezra's masakin chafifa.
So I don't understand what the kasha is. Chafifa is to wash, the other one is to check.
Right.
So one is, it's like apples and oranges.
The Torah writes, Yeram, I'm just quoting, Yeram Yidavara from the Ramban. You see from the Ramban, Shiyosir Machmir,
he's not more machmir, because in the body he's telling you not to wash, but to check.
That's the basis.
But I don't understand the Torah.
I don't either. We'll get to it in a second. I'm going to try to explain what he means. But the Torah for Daik and the Ramban, he says, it's like Kashi is asking the Ramban basically, and how can it be the Ramban is giving more import to Chafifa, to cleaning the
body than
the body than the hair? Because obviously what he means to say is that Chatzitza impedes Tevila in any part of the body. So that's the Torah's Kashi. The Reish Lakish says, no, this is not a diuk. That's not what the Ramban means. Ramban means to say that one, to check your body is a deraisa, and to cleanse the hair is a derabana, but it doesn't mean that one is more chamor, it's just different procedures, different parts of the body. That's the but the Torah has this unusual reading of the Ramban. So what is this machlokas? What's the Torah getting at? So I thought there are different ways you could suggest here. I thought perhaps.
But are you going to explain to me what the Torah is saying?
Yep.
Okay, what is the Torah saying?
Question like this. The Torah is saying, the question of the Torah is, the machlokas, the question is, the Ramban is only talking about hair, like Rov Rishonim. And I think the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch Pasuk, Nikra Din Chatif is only on hair. You should wash the whole body, but really, it's on the hair. So what is this? How do you view the hair? How do you view the hair of the woman? You, on the one hand, you could say the hair is viewed as really one entity. It's really one entity, even though it's made of a bunch of strands. It's like one part of her body that has millions of different pieces. I'll explain what I mean in a second. On the other hand, you could say each hair is its own entity. See, if you say each hair is its own entity, then the hair is equally prone as anything, obviously, to chatzitza. Because every hair can be entangled by another hair. I'll give chatzitza, you have something blocking one part of the body. So every one of the vermilion hairs can be blocked or entangled by millions of other hairs. Therefore, each hair is its own thing. If the hair is certainly equal, if not more, prone to chatzitza than other parts of the body, that's the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef is saying, don't say the hair is only a drabon or kal. The hair is as prone to chatzitza as anything else. Every single strand of hair could be entangled by other strands of hair. The hair is like as if it's millions of chatzitzas growing on her scalp. That's how you view hair in theory. Each hair connected the other hair. The other way, the tour might be saying though that hair is viewed as one entity. Therefore, you don't say, well, the hair is a place which is prone to chatzitza. It's true. If you do have entangled hairs, the Gemara says it is a chatzitza. But you don't view each hair connected to the other hair as an outside, as a foreign object, like a chatzitza. You view the hair really as one chefta, one entity. And therefore, in terms of what's the chatzitza in hair? In hair is not that she's going to find dough in her hair. She's like other types of things where she's going to have ink in her hair, like we have ink on the skin or dough on the skin or things like that for the Gemara and the Rishonim talk about. The main problem of hair is the hair will be entangled within itself. So that's what the Torah is saying. The Torah is saying perhaps view hair as really one entity. It's true. Statistically, hair is likely, equally if not more likely, to have chatzitza, to become entangled in and of itself from the rest of the body. But conceptually, though, hair, unlike the other parts of the body, the chatzitza of hair is not a chatzitza of foreign objects. The problem is that hair might become entangled in and of itself, and therefore the type of chatzitza problem is not the same as chatzitza in the body. You don't have chatzitza of foreign objects. Perhaps that's the Torah saying. You view hair as one chatzitza, and therefore it doesn't have the chashash. Statistically, it does, but conceptually, it does not have the same chashash as the rest of the body. The rest of the body, chashash, you have all types of dough and ink and things and scabs all over the body that you can have. Hair doesn't have these things. The only problem here is you can have other hair impeding the same hair. But since the hair is all one chefza, you don't view the other hairs subjectively as a chetzitza.
But why aren't you worried about other objects the same way you're worried other things work on the rest of the goof? Why are there not going to be a problem in the hair?
Because the other thing is the goof.
I just don't understand the
difference. The rest of the goof, the mishnayos and the clothes and the gemara nita brings, are chetzitzas that normally are not subject to the hair. Give me an example. Nails. Under the nails, it says, sewin, basik, tachas, tziporin. Scabs, mucus on the skin, all these types of things, dough on the skin, these are types of things, ink on the skin, these types of things a person,
you don't
find in the hair. The only thing in the hair is entanglement, not foreign objects. That's true. Maybe so, dandruff, okay. But I don't know if it's a chassisa.
So then what was the tour attacking the Ramban then? Can you explain?
The tour perhaps was trying to say, assuming it's an attack, attack is that, why are you the Ramban? How could you say that the goof is
more chamur than
more
the hair?
I'm saying, more than the hair. He's saying you view the hair as each hair is a chatzitza connected. All the millions of hairs are a chatzitza connected. Every individual hair, and therefore it's a hotbed of chatzitzas. The hair is certainly more such a chatzitza than any other part of the body. Every hair is in the region of millions of other pieces of strands of hair. Therefore every that thing is maybe that's what he's trying. That's what he's saying. Whereas the Beis Yosef is saying, no, it's actually. No, sorry. I'm just reading. But the question was that. No.
Yeah, what's the Torah asking the Ramban?
A goof. Very tired, right? The Torah is saying on the Ramban, how could it be.
He's accusing the Ramban that according to the Ramban, he is being more machmir on the goof than the hair.
Right.
So how is that?
So he's being more machmir on the hair because the Torah is understanding the Ramban as saying that the hair is all one. Then sorry, right? Hair is all one entity.
Yeah.
That would be the argument to say to defend.
Ramban, but
defend the Ramban.
Yeah, you're defending the Ramban. I want to understand the
tour.
What is the tour holding?
Then the question makes sense.
Right, right.
Is that what he's saying? That's his different perspective. That explains.
What are you saying? Or what?
If you hold each hair is distinctive, and your perspective is that, then the question on the Ramban makes sense.
It does.
If you say right.
Yeah. What? What's the? Tell me the kasha on the Ramban.
Kasha Ramban is like this. How could it be? He says the hair itself is a minefield of chatzitzas. Every hair has millions of other chatzitzas of other hairs on the scalp that will be potential chatzitzas. So how could you say?
But the rest of the body doesn't have it.
So the hair would be worse intuitively, according to the Torah.
According to the Torah, the hair is
intuitively worse.
Right, but he's understanding the Ramban is right. But the idea, though, the defense of that interpretation of the Ramban. If you were to read the Ramban that way,
yeah, you're explaining the Hezbo Machlokes in the Torah and the Ramban.
Right.
So I'm saying that the way the Torah understood the Ramban is different than what the Beis Yosef.
Right, the Beis Yosef reads it very simply. He says that's not what he means. He's not talking about one more chomer. He's simply saying that Takana was on one. It doesn't.
Right,
one
but according to the Torah, really, his understanding of the Ramban,
right,
Taka, there was a bigger emphasis on the body than on the
hair.
It
should be, rather, it should be.
Right.
But according to Ramban, there's more.
Because there's so many opportunities for entanglement on the hair. I'm trying to explain how one could conceive the Ramban of saying such a thing.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Question is, when should chafifa be absolutely performed? There are different cases in the Gemara and the Rishonim and the Torah Shulchan Aruch. Is if a woman couldn't do chafifa at the lechatchila time, let's say she had to be tovel on Motzei Shabbos or Motzei Yontif or Motzei Shabbos, which is after Yontif, all types of things which you can't shampoo on Shabbos and so forth. So she has to do it maybe an Erev Shabbos and do chafifa and delay the tefillos later. But optimally, in a regular Yom Chol, a weekday, when should chafifa be performed? So Rashi says, chafifa should be dafka performed by day. Chafifa by day and tevila by night. Because if it's just chafifa by night, she's going to rush the tevila. Therefore, if she's just chafifa by day, before she can be tovel, it'll take her time to do a thorough, proper chafifa, and the tevila will be done at night without having been rushed through the chafifa. Whereas the Sheoltos says, no, the Torah quote the Sheoltos says, no, you really should do the chafifa as close as possible to the tevila. Don't do the chafifa by day and tevila by night. Do the chafifa right before the tevila. Do it right at night. Now, the way that it's suggested in the Torah and other posts, they say, to kind of both of them, you know what you should do? A woman, she should start chafifa by day and finish it by night and be tovel right after chafifa. But objectively, though, when should chafifa be done? That's the machlokas. Rashi says by day, The Chelp says, nope, you shouldn't have an interruption. Do it by night and tova right away. So what's this machlokas? Perhaps machlokas like this.
I mean, according to Rashi, you should not do it at night because she might be rushing.
Right.
Because it might be quick. We don't want her to rush. So that's why we dafka want it during the day.
Right.
On the other hand, you don't want it during the day because you might develop a new chatzitza.
She has opportunities
for new chatzitza.
Right.
That's the problem.
That's the balance. That's the Chelp to do it at night. So what's this machlokas about? So I thought maybe the issue is like this. See, we discussed when a woman did not check her body, did not do chafifa, what her status for body is. She has her body has a suffik chatzitza, vadi chatzitza, muksuk chatzitza, whatever it is. The question is, when she does chafifa, what is the status of her body? So it could be like this. Rashi could be saying, when she does chafifa, her body actually is endowed with a chazaka of nikius. It's a chalostin, a chazak on her body of nikius. We're going to discuss from later a more refined a hairline chiluk and what type of chazak she might be having. But there's some type of chazak on her body. Therefore, even if it's a delay, there's no reason to lechachila say, I must have the chafifa right before the tevila, because I'm going to be in trouble. Because once she does chafifa, unless there's some type of reis that arises, she's muchsak, she has a chazak of nikius. And therefore, she can do chafifa by day, wait a few hours to tevila at night. As long as she's not aware of any problems, she didn't encounter any sticky things and so forth, get herself in any messes, she's fine. There's a chazaka of the chafifa creates upon her. There's, according to Shelf, there's no chazaka, it's just a metzias. She is removed, whatever chatzitza might be there, but she's prone to whatever might come on her afterwards, and therefore one should not delay it. It's true, better shouldn't be rushed, but the rushing is simply a chachila, but the delaying of it, when she might have an interruption, she might have the opportunity for more chatzitzas, is an actual ikuv. So that's why he says there's no chazaka acquired or endowed by doing chafifa, it's just the metzias, there's no chazaka, therefore do it, take it from yad, samuch mamash. What if a woman went ahead and she skipped her chafifa? She checked herself. She did the derayah, she checked herself, but she skipped chafifa. So the Torah quotes the Rashba that she's not yotzei tzvila. She must be to chafifa again and tzvila again. She mom should not yotzei tzvila. Whereas the Bach,
it's makif.
It's makif, right? Whereas the Bach is between Medayik and the Ramban. No, it's not makif. She was mevatel to Kana Zezra, but she checked her body and her body was clean, and she was mevatel to Rabbanah. Okay, but she's tahara. So I think this is a simple head, but what the machlokas is. According to the Bach, way he returns to Ramban, that is, it's a simple idea. It's a mitzvah. A mitzvah. Do chafifa. It's a safeguard. But if she safeguarded herself by checking herself, so she skipped the procedural safeguard, the Rabban and the Kana Zezra, but she's still Yotzi Tevila. Whereas according to the way the Torah, of course, according to Rashba, the idea of chafifa is Chazal defined a woman who did not do chafifa as a woman who is Tamei, or a woman who has chatzitzas. In other words, they didn't simply say do the mitzvah of Tevila, of chafifa, but they said if a woman has not done chafifa, she's muchsak, the Rabbanan, she's muchsak with chatzitzos. So that's how they formulated it. She's muchsak with chatzitzos until she does chafifa, and therefore she omits chafifa, and she knows mitzvah-wise she has no chatzitzos, she has to go ahead and do it again. Because the Rabbanan, she's muchsak with chatzitzos. We have another case like this. This is not a machlokas, but the Torah explains that if a woman did not check the hidden parts of her body, so the halakha we know from the Gemara, Nina says that even though you don't need BS mind, you don't have to have the water, make the water contact hidden parts of the body, parts of the body that are covered by skin, whatever it is, and then she doesn't have to have those have water go in them. Nevertheless, though, it has to be royal BS mind. It must be fit for BS mind. They have to be clean. So let's say a woman did not go ahead and check the hidden parts of her body. She didn't do chafifa. She didn't even check the hidden parts of her body before she did tevila. She does tevila. She comes out of the water, and she has contact with some sticky substance. And later on, she finds some of the sticky substance in the hidden part of her body. So for a regular case, other parts of the body, she would have to be tovel again. So this would be a reyes, at least something in the tevila. Maybe, since she didn't check herself, maybe there's sticky stuff in the body beforehand.
She can't be tovel.
Right. It can't be tovel. However, though, in the hidden parts of her body, she's allowed to be tovel. She can go ahead and post and say she can be tovel and say that, you know, maybe that I'm assuming I was fine beforehand. And that just came on my body now. The question is why they say because all you need is royal bias mayan. It's more kal. Why is it more kal? Why should it be any more kal? The Aruch HaShulchan explains it's more the hidden places on the basis of sarim. They're more kal because in these places, unlike the rest of the outer parts of the body, which have a chazaka of chatzitzos due to their constant contact. It doesn't mean necessarily maybe that it's muhsak to Yivale has chatzitzos, but there is a chazaka that she's prone to chatzitzos, or more prone to them. She's muhsak to have chatzitzos, or likely to have in the outer part of the body. The hidden parts of the body are not exposed to anything. There's no chazaka at all. There's simply a blank slate, just zero. Therefore, if she has a good tzliya later on, we can rely upon that tzliya. Masha'enu ken, if the woman on the outer parts of the body finds a chatzitza later and didn't check herself, even though she knows she had contact with that sticky stuff later, it crosses her chatzitza, she cannot rely upon that because she has a chazaka, she has a reyusa of nikiyus. That's the Aruch HaShulchan explains it. Now, this case, we had a little bit of discussion here in terms of drawing a fine line, so I'm open to being shot down about this. But the Torah in the name of the Rashba quotes the following. This is Machlokas. Let's say a woman did chafifa, and then she was tovel afterwards. Then she found a chatzitza. So the halacha is, in certain cases, not a problem. And she was tovel, she did chafifa. We assume chafifa cleanses her 100%. There's no shayla of chafifa. Then she does tevila. Then she finds a chatzitza. So can we rely upon the fact and say, well, if she did chafifa, the tevila must have been good. There must be nothing there. So the Torah quotes the Rashba is saying that if the chafifa and tevila were in the same owner, then you don't have to worry. In other words, if she chafifa by night and tovel by night, and then she finds a chatzitza, she's fine. If she did a chafifa by day and tovel by night, there's too much of a separation, and therefore, that we choshes that after the chafifa, she got a chatzitza on her body, and you know, whatever, therefore she has to be, she has to clean herself and tovel us again. Because they have to be within the same ona. Darchi Moshe, though, quotes other Rishonim that say that no, only if there was no break at all, there must be an immediate proximity between the chafifa and tevila. If she did it, like when the Rashba did it, she was chofef at night, then she was tovel 2 hours later, and she finds a chesitz in her body afterwards, no good. There has to be an immediate chafifa right into the tevila. Darshan Moshe quotes Rishonim as saying, there's no such thing as being in the same own as good enough. You don't rely upon anything. And the Aruch HaShulchan also quotes a Tosfos Nida that says, similar to this idea of the Darchi Moshe, that if the woman did chafifa, she didn't tovel right away, but she knew a vadai, that she had nothing on her body that shots. Tevila's fine. If she didn't know b'vadai, it's no good. So basically, the Rashba says, as long as chafifa and tevila are in the same ona, in the same period, daytime, nighttime, it's fine, don't worry about what happened in between. With Darchi Moshe, and quoting the Rishonim as well as the Tosfos, so no, it must be mamish, take it from the eye. There cannot be interruption at all. So, Lachora, this is getting into again what type of chazaka the woman might have prior to doing tevila. After just chafifa, before tevila, what kind of chazaka does she have? So, the idea that's quoted by the Darchi Moshe and by the Tosfos may say that all chafifa does, it just removes the prior chash, chazak of chatzitza, but it doesn't do anything positive. Therefore, after chafifa, she's an open target. She has to verify, she has to either be tov right away or must verify the vados that there's no chatzitza in her body. There's no such thing as any chazaka. I did chafifa and I have a chazaka that I'm okay now. It doesn't exist. Therefore, she has to do chafifa with tevila, take it from yad, or she has to have a bivada, check on it, be certain that there's no chatzitza on her body, if there's any delay. Whereas the pshat of the Rashba says that no, again, there's a type of chazaka that's endowed by the chafifa, and therefore it's okay to, as long as she's a chafifa and tevila, and the same owner, she finds a chazitza later, it's not going to be a problem, because there's a chazaka that's endowed by the tevila. The problem with this, though, I think as far as it makes sense to say, is that the Rashba earlier postulates like the Shelta. The Shelta again says that you must do chafifa at night and tevila at night. As opposed to Rashi says, you can do chafifa during the daytime. It's better to have more time, do it more relaxed, and so forth. So since the Rashba is saying that you must do chafifa, because the Shelta says you must do chafifa at night, don't do it so early, do it at night. You must do it at night. So obviously, there are two levels of chazaka we're talking about here. The Rashba on the one hand says, within the same ona, don't worry about it. But within a different ona, from afternoon chafifa to the nighttime tevila, is an issue. So this question might be, what level chazaka, assuming chafifa endows a chazaka, what type of chazaka does it endow? One type of chazaka could be status quo chazaka, which means to say, if you don't know otherwise, then she's muhsak is fine. That would be the way that the Rashba says it. However, the other way to say it, which is that you don't rely upon anything, might say that, you know, the other way to say it, I'm sorry. Sorry, I have the Rashba. There's the Shelta saying even greater. he's saying that not only that, but there's even not a status quo, but there's a positive chazaka, like a dynamic chazaka. Of course, if she has a reason to suspect know this chatzitza is invalidates it, but there's a dynamic chalos, a status that she is free from, she is chatzitza free until proven otherwise. Not just on a status quo because we have no information otherwise, but it's actually an affirming type of chazaka. Maybe that's the idea. So that's the question. Does Khatifa create an affirming type of chazaka, a status quo chazaka, or it does nothing?
Why is chazaka's Tara?
Excuse me?
Why do you say
it's
chazaka?
It's not
you pause,
why do you say chazaka's Tara? Well, chazaka free of chazitza. She hasn't yet been tofa. Right, exactly. You say that. That's a good phrase. Phrase used for it. Very good. Okay, let's discuss Mishnah.
Why Dafka on it? Why limit to own it?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I'm not sure.
Is it Inka's whole that, like, that women are defined by own it? So, like, Nibik Nida is totally in some sawa.
It's a good point. It's likely dependent on that. I'm not sure, to be honest, why that is. I didn't see an explanation for it, but it's a good point. It's something of that sort. It must be. Or, but then one own it's defined as one time unit. And somehow, conceptually, an own it is one time unit. Therefore, they're from the same time unit. Okay. I want to just do a few other things now. Different simanim just to tie up some loose ends or add some open issues that we had from the last kibbutz. Well, just most of the few things that we think should not be overlooked here. In terms of the bracha, there's the bracha that is set upon tevila. The Gemara says that a ger in Pesachim says the bracha on tevila after he's tovel, because gavra lo chazi, the ger is not roy. He cannot say asher kishana while he's still a nachla or still a goy. That's to be tovel, and he says asher kishana when he emerges from the water. However, there's a big machlok rishonim for somebody who's not a ger, say a woman being tovel. When she say the bracha, some rishonim said that this is the case of the bahag and the reed. They saw the woman lo plug. The chamim said lo plug. Everyone who's tovel says the bracha and tevila after the tevila, even though a woman should be able to say it beforehand, should be before the tevila because she is mitzuva already. And so to anybody being tovel for tahara should be able to say a bracha beforehand. Lo plug, all brachas and tevila afterwards. That's the bahag and the reed. However, the Rambam and the Ravid say, nope, only tevila of a ger, like the Gemara says in Pesachim, gavra lo chazi, is said after the tevila. And the other bracha over las yasa, say the bracha before your tovel. We should say that if the woman, if she can be in the water and she can even, she would already be in the mikvah water and she can just agitate the water so there's, you know, so nothing can be visible on her body, say the bracha, then dunk herself right down. But again, the Rambam Ravid say, yet say bracha over las yasa before she immersed herself. So what's this machlok? I thought perhaps, there are different ways to say this. I thought this is the only thing I want to say on this. The question like this, how do you view the various types of tevila? Is the pshat that all tevila is really one mitzvah? A tevila can accomplish different things. It can accomplish a geirus, it can accomplish a tahara, it can be a tevila shel mitzvah with nothing being accomplished per se. But a tevila is all really conceptually one mitzvah that has different results to it. It's all one nice mitzvah, different results. That's the idea, perhaps, of the behag and the re. And therefore, even though the only type of tevila is that of a ger that cannot be done, she cannot say a bracha prior, but since all tevila is really one mitzvah, it's shayach to say lo plug. Lo plug is a meaningful concept. However, the Rambam and Ravid say no. Each tevila is a different mitzvah. Tevila for geirus is a different mitzvah, even though that Rambam doesn't count as a minhag mitzvah, but however that is. But tevila for geirus is one mitzvah, tevila tahara is one mitzvah, tevila of kohen gadol biyom kippurim, the five tevilas are another mitzvah. In fact, the Rambam in the Tefer Mitzvahs in the Koseres of Hilchos Yom Kippurim, in Mikvos, when he talks about tevila, he says the mitzvah is to be tovil mituma, litvol hatami mitumaso, tovil mituma. Now, obviously, the tevila from tumah is one mitzvah in the mitzvahs. And Avodas Yom Kippurim say for mitzvahs, the Rambam counts Avodas Yom Kippurim is all one mitzvah. The Rambam says, including the chamesh tevilos and the 10 kiddush and raglayim and everything, it's all one mitzvah. So the tevila there in Avodas Yom Kippurim is itself part of the mitzvah of Yom Kippurim. One mitzvah. Tevila of tumah is another mitzvah. That's the idea. According to the Rambam and the Ravid, each tevila is a different mitzvah. It's a different mitzvah. And that's the reason that you don't say lo plug, but that's kind of the tevila's gear, which is an unrelated mitzvah to a tevila of a kohen gadol and kippur, a tevila of a nidah. There's no reason to equate the brachas, whereas the Rahag and the Ri say, really, all tevila is really one mitzvah. And one mitzvah that has different applications, different results, but it's all one mitzvah, and therefore they say lo plug. Maybe that's the hesber for this. Mishma, I want to discuss a few more things about chitzitza, and that will be it.
Wait, can you just say your chakira again?
Sure. Is all tevila really one mitzvah with different ramifications, different applications, but the yisod is one mitzvah? Or is each type of tevila a different mitzvah, an unrelated mitzvah, it's another type of tevilah. And that's the Rambam and the Rai. And again, the Rai is, like, yeah. I mentioned, from the Rambam.
See, if it's a different mitzvah. So
then you don't say lo plu, they're masakin tevilah.
Then every mitzvah has its own darin.
Right, and therefore you say overlasi asa tevilah for tovel.
It has nothing to do with the ger.
Yeah, unrelated to ger. Whereas the Rei Lahak, it's tevilah is all one mitzvah, and therefore it's shayach to equate them all in terms of the, when the bracha is recited. Okay. Mishnah, I want to open up a Gemara in Nida. This is Nida on, this is Samet Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara here brings four cases of potential chatzitza. And there's a three-way machlokes you're showing him here, and I'd like to, Mishnah, conclude this Kabura by tying it into something we discussed at the beginning of the Kabura I gave last time. Gemara says like this. I'm not going to read everything here. There are different cases that are not about chatzitza, and there are partial chatzitza. Don't read the four cases we need. Gemara says, Am Rav Gidol Amar Rav, Nasa Tashliv Nov, Tavlov also, Lo also La Tavila. Avgav Tashta Leka. So, first case, a woman gave a Tavshil of food, it means a greasy food or something, greasy food to her child, and she was Tovel. Let's assume her body was clean, she did Chafif, she did Bedika, she's fine, she's clean. And she gives a greasy food to her son, to her baby or child, and she does Tavila. Is her Tavila good or not? So it says, no, Tavila is no good. That's the first case. Next case we have Amamar Baraba Hani Radi the Kusilta Atlasi Yomi Lechaitse Mikan Vela Chaitse Amarukva Liplush of Ayan Lach and Uchotes Yavesh Chotes Ansonikra Yavesh Mishasha Maskil Lirok. The case in which a person, because they made a cut in their skin, an incision in their skin for bloodletting, like used to do, or a person has mucus in the eye, mucus inside the eye. So if it's within the first 3 days, or the mucus in the eye is not yet green, in other words, these things are still moist. The scab on the woman, on the person's skin is moist, or the mucus in the eye is still moist. That's not a chatzitza. But after that time, after 3 days, or after the mucus becomes green, it's a chatzitza. That's the second case. Third case. Amr Shmuel, kichol shebtoch ayin enu chotzeis. Al gabeh ayin chotzeis. If you have kichol, this substance you used to put on the eyes for refuah purposes, if it's in the eye, it's not a chatzitza. It's above the eye, it's on the eyelid, let's say, that is a chatzitza. Unless the Gemara says the woman's eyes are being porkos, which either means they were tearing or they were blinking on and off, in which case it would remove the kachal from upon the eyelid, upon the eye, that's not a problem. But otherwise, kachal, which is on the eye, is above on the eye, means above the eye, is a chatzitza. And the last case is, Rabbi Yochanan, Paschai Neha B'Yoser, Aschai Neha B'Yoser, Alas L'Tavila. A woman opens or closes her eyes excessively, exceedingly. A woman holds her eyes open very strongly while she's tovelis, or she shuts her eyes and blinks them, keeps them down very tightly while she's tovelis. She's not yosef tevila. And that is, again, that the eyelid is being compressed above or below, like Rashi explains. Therefore, the water may not be touching her whole body. The machlokes we've shown him, whether it's just a chumra or whether it really doesn't, there's ma'ati, whatever, that's how it is. The eyelid is being pushed above or pushed below, impeding the water from coming in as it should, v'chachilah. There's a three of machlokes here. The problem is that there's Mishnayos, in Mishnayos, Beis and Dal, the ninth parak of Mikvos, that say that if a woman has lifluf chutz la'ayin, if she has mucus outside her eye, it's a chatzitza. Mashmi in the eye is not a chatzitza. Whereas the Gemara here said in the eye can be a chatzitza. The Gemara there said so too. A scab, it said gelad. I'm glad. Agabe hamaka. If you have a scab on the maka, sorry, chutz la'maka is a chatzitza. Outside the maka, inside the maka, a scab on the person's wound is not a chatzitza. It doesn't say hard or soft, solid or liquid. It's not a chatzitza. Now here, our Gemara in Samach Zion says a scab which is on the wound, which is hard, is a chatzitza. And Gemara Mishnayos Mikvos said it's not a chatzitza. Well, it's outside of the wound, outside the eye. In the eye, it's not a problem. And so forth. The Mishnayos there do not mention the case of grease, of giving a tavshil, greasy food to the child. It's not mentioned there at all as being a chatzitza. Nor does it mention closing and opening eyes. Or kichal outside the eye. So then we have a machlokas, a sugis based on the Mishnayos. So there's two ways to learn this. One way is the way Rosh Hashanah learned this. They say that, no, really, our Gemara here that says that it's talking about these things in the eye is either somehow going to be a chumra one way or the other way. The way that the riff that Rabbi Nachman on the Rambam and the Rambam learned it is the Gemara here is for Taharos. When is there going to be a case of lifluf toch ayin, mucus in the eye, or maka, or blood, glad dam agabia maka? When is that a chatzitza? In the case of Taharos, the chumah for Taharos, Rabban and the Rambam says, but otherwise not a chatzitza. Whereas the way that Rashi learns, no, all these things are mikra dina chatzitza. This argument here is just elaborate on explaining the Mishnayos and Mikvos. But really, these things are a chatzitza for all women. So basically, again, just to summarize before we explain the lumdus, is that are these cases of closing her, opening her eyes hard, having grease on her body from giving a tavshil to her son, having kal outside of her eye and eyelid, or having mucus, let's say hardened or a hardened scab on a wound or on her eye, those diseases are not. So I think just to say it in a local head is like this. How do you define chatzitza? One would say chatzitza is chatzitza means anything I don't like. Anything I prefer not to be there is chatzitza. Another way to say chatzitza is anything which is a foreign object, anything which is not naturally right, also not normatively there. How do you define chatzitza? Rashi, who is the most machmir here, says chatzitza is anything that you don't want to be there. Anything, because again, anything machmir on the Gemara says in many places is a chatzitza. So machmir Rashi has means you don't want it there. Simply you don't want it there. Therefore, if the woman has, even on the wound itself, she has a scab on the wound, which normally is there. A scab is on a wound. That's where a scab belongs, on a wound. It's protected. Hashem gives it as a protection for the wound. But since it's something that she finds unappealing, she doesn't want it to be there and so forth, it's a chatzitza Rashi holds. A woman gives a tavshil to her son. I mean, even though women, I guess, you know, and babies, they're expected to get themselves, you know, messy from handling the babies and handling the food all the time. So it's normal for her. It's a chatzitza. She doesn't want it. So in all these cases, chatzitza. Close her eyes, open her eyes. This is not something which she desires. Her body in this position. It's not normal. It's a chatzitza. And she doesn't want a chatzitza. Whereas the Rambam and Moshe Shem would say, no, chatzitza is defined by what's normative. And the chatzitza means a foreign object, something which normally should not be there. And therefore, the grease on the woman, let's say, in the case of giving the tavshil to her son, is not a chatzitza. On the maka, having a scab on the maka, having a mucus in the eye, hardened in the eye, not a chatzitza. The Rambam says having chal on the eyelid. If a person puts chal on their eyes, if they get on their eyelids inevitably, that's normal. It may not look as pretty, but it's normal. The Rambam says that's normative, not a chatzitza. Chatzitza means that which is a foreign object, that which is not normal, not normative to be there. That's the Rambam's definition of chatzitza. This is a broad sweep of it. I just wanted to just do some just two targeted points, so a few more minutes just to finish up. We have a few minor hairline differences here. Even though the Torah does hold, like the Rambam, the Iker in this issue, it's like most of them hold, as far as how you define chatzitza, it's not as machmir as Rashi in all these cases. The Torah, though, does hold that if a person has chatzitza, one second, I'm going to go back for a second. I'm sorry, I'm going to be very careful with this. Sorry. The Torah holds that if a person has kachal on the, has kachal, let's say, above her eye, right? Or let's say that would be a chatzitza. The Torah also holds, even though he holds that outside of the eye, a hardened piece of, a soft mucus, not a chatzitza, in the eye would be. The Torah has the following concept, that anything that has, it's not solid, it's not hard, not a chatzitza. That's the Torah just said. Anything that's not solid or hard is not a chatzitza. Therefore, if she has mucus outside the eye, it's not a chatzitza. If the woman has a scab not solidified outside of her undercut, I think it's not a chatzitza. Anything that's not solidified is not a chatzitza, the Torah holds. Rashi holds doesn't make a difference. You know, Rashi says if a person has a soft mucus outside of her eye, it's a chatzitza. The Torah says no, it's moist, the whole water can get through. Rashi says no, it's a chatzitza anyway. So what's the machlokas here? The machlokas is like this. When we say something is moist, like moist chatzitzas, how do you view a moist chatzitza? Rishonim explain a moist chatzitza that's on a area that provides moisture is not a chatzitza. That's the reason, say, a chatzitza in the eye, a moist thing in the eye is not a chatzitza, because the tears of the eye are actually providing backup moisture, and it's fortifying the moist quality of the mucus in the eye. Or let's say the person has a wound. The Taurus magic person has a wound, and a scab on the wound, and the scab itself has the scab itself is moist, and since there's moisture underneath it, that moisture would not be a chitzitza. In other words, everyone agrees if there's moisture underneath something fueling it, keeping it moist on a chitzitza. Let's say you have a moist thing on a dry surface of the skin. Is that a chitzitza? That's what the Torah has been making on Rashi's machlokes. So machlokes might be like this: how do you view? We have a person that chitzitza on their body. How does this chitzitza view? In other words, the way that Rashi might learn it, Rashi might say, you know what? Chitzitza really is an attachment to the body, an appendage to the body that's undesirable. If you don't mind, it becomes fully part of the body and it's buttle and tuffle. But if you mind it, it's attachment to the body, it's undesirable. Therefore, Rashi will say, the fact that you have water coming in from the outside of the mikveh water and diluting this, so to say, diluting, touching this moist thing, this grease, or this moist mucus in the outside of her eye, whatever it would be. Rashi says, it doesn't matter because this stuff is coming upon the body, which has the chitzitza as a component of it. The chitzitza is a component of the body, and therefore you view the chitzitza as in terms of the body, in the background, the context of the body. And therefore, the fact you have water on one hand, much more water touching against body with some mucus on the body, so to say, it's not going to help because you don't view this mucus as something that's independently diluted conceptually by the mikveh water, but rather you view it as identified with the body, and therefore it has the body, which is totally dry, and not is a solid thing. It's the same status that's endowed upon this attachment to it, upon this lifter. So the Torah says, view the chassis as an independent object. The last thing I want to say is as follows. We discussed recently, last of Reggae, the machlokas, apparently, of the Rambam versus Rashi, the Rosh Ben Tor. What is chatzitza? The Brisker Rav explained this at least, and I want to say only in the Rambam this idea exists. It's chatzitza, a lack of bias mayim. Chatzitza means the mikvah water cannot touch that part of the body. There's no surface contact with that part of the body because the chatzitza is impeding the contact. Or the way the Brisker Rav explained, in the second going to the Rambam, chatzitza is a new din, it's a new psul. Even though there is bias mayim, we don't say chatzitza prevented bias mayim. There is bias mayim. As long as a person has some bodily contact to the water, or the object has some contact with the surface of the water, there's bias mayim, there is a tevila. However, if there's a chatzitza, the Torah says if there's a chatzitza, the tevila is invalidated. It's a new din, it's a chiddush. Chatzitza is a new din, it's an equivalent tevila. It doesn't mean that the water is not a question of bias mayim. You don't need bias mayim in the entire surface of the body. All you need is the thing to be dunked, to be immersed. However, chatzitza, though, declares that it's mafkia the tevila, mafkia the chalos tahara. That's the idea of chitzitza. I think this fits in beautifully to a machlokas. The Beis Yosef has another way to say it, but I think this fits in nicely. The following machlokas: if there is a moist object, again, moist mucus on the woman's body, on that body, not inside of the eye, where she has to have a moist scab, not on the cusp. The Rambam says it's a chatzitza, and the Torah says not. So the Torah will say it's not a chatzitza because, look, there's bias mayim. It's a moist object. The water can dilute, it can get underneath, and it's not a chatzitza. The Rambam, for some reason, says it's a chatzitza. I don't care, it's a chatzitza. Even though it's moist, it's a chatzitza. So it could be the Rambam is going with shitasa. The Rambam says, again, chatzitza is not a lack of bias mayim. Chatzitza has nothing to do with bias mayim in terms of what it actually is. It's just, it's a new psul, a new chiddush, the mafkiya, the chalos tevila. One of the Rambam will say beautifully, who cares if there is bias mayim here? There is bias mayim. There is bias mayim going, diluting and getting underneath this mucus or this wet scab. But the Rambam says, I do not care, because it's a chatzitza. Chatzitza is unrelated to bias mayim, and therefore it's a chatzitza midaraisa, or at least in one of his covering in the minority. It's a chitzitza, and it's a psul in the tevila. Because the Torah says, like we started saying earlier last time, chitzitza means lack of bias mayim. As long as this thing is moist and can be diluted by the mikveh water, the water will get underneath it, not chitzitza. There is bias mayim. The Rambam again says, no, I don't care. It's true, there is bias mayim, but it's on her skin, and it's a chitzitza. She doesn't want it. It shouldn't be there. It's psul tevila. That's it. Thank you for listening.